Well, dear brethren, it's time we begin our memorial service. What a privilege and a joy it is to see all of our brethren here today. We're going to start by opening with hymn number 325, Grateful Consecration. It will be on the screen. And then after this hymn, Brother Jonathan Benson will open with a word of prayer. Hymn 325.
Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Creator of heaven and earth, we do pay homage to you, we honor and praise you. Dear Father, we count it a privilege to come before you through the merit of our blessed Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who gives us that merit through his ransom sacrifice to have a relationship with you. Dear Father, we count it a privilege, though we are not worthy. But we thank you for your grace, which has called us to know this wonderful plan and to really know Jesus and all he has done on our behalf. Thank you for showing us the Son. And Jesus, thank you for showing us the Father. At this time, dear Father, we pray your blessing upon our service. And we pray that we will respectfully partake of the merits of Christ, so that we can follow in his footsteps and do your will. We do pray for the collective body of Christ all the world over that are meeting in like manner. And we are so grateful for each and every one that supports, helps, and we're in this together. And we're so grateful for the support system that you gave to us. We're grateful for the examples of those around us that encourage us and push us towards Christ so that we can be more faithful. Father, we love you, we need you, and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' precious and worthy name we pray. Amen.
Well, dear brethren, as has been the custom for over 2,000 years, the brethren have come together to memorialize our Savior's great sacrifice. We think about Jesus 2,000 years ago. You know, he knew about what he was going to go through. And it was a very special time for him because in his last hours, he was giving special gems to his footstep followers. And we know as we've studied and prepared for Memorial, the week leading up to Memorial, there were many lessons that were given as well. And these were lessons that would be keen on the disciples' minds after he had left the scene. And he knew this. Well, now we're going to not focus on the days before, but look at especially the memorial itself. It's been the source of our prayers and meditation for really weeks now. And so now we come to the consummation. We will provide scriptures. We will provide remarks on the bread and the cup. We will have prayers and we will have songs. We do this all to honor our Heavenly Father and in honor of Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. It's ever so important. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." And so it is our privilege at this time of the year to come together as an ecclesia to celebrate this solemn and yet joyous feast. You know, as we think about our brethren worldwide, we think about the brethren in New Zealand and Australia, and then Asia, India, Africa, all that have already celebrated this feast, and those that even in the United States and to the West that will celebrate subsequently. And it really, really reminds us of this common union that we all have when we come together for this cause. And we celebrate this unity of the body. And so now, dear brethren, we're going to open with some scriptural readings by Brother Jay Slavich.
The scriptures are taken from the NASB translation. Exodus 12:1-14. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the new year for you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th month of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to the father's household, a lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them. In proportion to what each one should eat, you are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to slaughter it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh the same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs, along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left of it until morning, you shall completely burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this way, with your garment belted around your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in a hurry. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and fatally strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the human firstborn to animals, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will come upon you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now this day shall be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. John 6:32-35. Jesus then said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will not be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. Continuing in verses 47 through 58. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down out of heaven, so that anyone may eat from it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats from this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I will give for the life of the world also is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, the one who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down out of heaven, not as the Father ate and died. The one who eats this bread will live forever. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh provides no benefit. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Finally, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a person must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup.
And now, dear brethren, we will have a hymn entitled Christ, Our Passover Lamb, hymn number 122. And now, dear brother and brother, Michael Balko will come up and give us remarks on the bread.
On the evening that Jesus was betrayed, on the very same day in which he died, he sat in the upper room with his 12 disciples, as we recall from the account, eating the lamb, which represented himself and his sacrifice. He knew that he was about to be put to death as the Lamb of God, which dies to take away the sins of the world. John 1:29. He was that true bread from heaven, the bread of God, which came down to give life to the world. Again, John 6:31 to 33. In a few hours, he would be lifted up on the cross to die for the sins of the world, to fulfill the Father's mission that he had come to do, that the Father determined the exact time for his sacrifice to be offered. And it was so. When the Passover supper was finished, Jesus took bread and instituted a memorial of his death, his own death as a substitute for the Passover lamb. It was a simple ceremony, as we just sang, which would help to remind his followers of what he had done for them and for, indeed, the whole world of mankind. It also showed them that they would have the privilege of participating with him in the divine program of salvation. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Matthew 26:26. It represented his perfect humanity, which was broken or sacrificed for us. Unless he had presented his flesh in this way and sacrificed himself for us, we could never have a resurrection from death to any future life. He also has reminded us, as we had read short time ago, in 1 Corinthians 11, as often you eat this bread, you do so until he come. The words from Apostle Paul. Now, going back to our words from Jesus, he was pointing out to his disciples that this memorial to his death should continue until the last member of his spiritual body will be called and gathered together with him in heaven. Therefore, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. That's 1 Corinthians 11:28. Now, we do not partake of this memorial emblem, especially the bread, but we do so through knowledge and love. Gratefully, intelligently, for blessed are your enlightened eyes, for they see, and your enlightened mind through the Holy Spirit. And we believe that this was a new institution, as we've studied, that should take the place of the former typical sacrifices that became obsolete when they were fulfilled by our Lord Jesus and his sacrifice. We're to examine our hearts, our motives, for none are worthy. But we're also thankful at the same time he's called us out of darkness in this marvelous light, that we have a true understanding of what these emblems mean and represent. We have the blessed privilege of partaking of these memorial emblems by and through, again, the love and grace of our Heavenly Father, who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Now, this celebration with his disciples on that 14th day of Nisan, as we said, had a new meaning. The loaf represented his flesh. And we must trust in him and appropriate this sacrifice and should gladly partake of the memorial as he instructed us to do. It's appropriate to remember at what great cost redemption from sin and death was provided by this sacrifice of our Lord's only begotten Son. Consider also the Heavenly Father's love in giving his only begotten Son to suffer and die. And also remember the great compassion that our Lord had, and he demonstrated during his entire earthly ministry, gladly giving his all to his Heavenly Father in service, love, and devotion. Now, during the memorial, as it was on that night with his disciples in the upper room, bread was first broken. So we see the importance of the order We realize that the order, again, of having this appropriateness of having the bread broken and passed to the disciples teaches us that only those who now are justified from sin by faith in the merit and sacrifice of the true and antitypical Lamb of God are invited to give up their justified humanity and share in the afflictions of Christ during this present age and the glories which will follow if we're faithful unto death. Only those who symbolically eat his flesh and drink his blood dwell in him and he in them as members of his body. And he said again in verses from John 6, my flesh is meat indeed. Now this was the most valuable food that was ever given to a human being. It's ever known. And he that eateth my flesh, I will dwell in him and he in me. Again, from John, the 6th chapter, verses 55 and 56. So, brethren, partaking of that bread is a symbol representing the real love of God shed forth in our hearts and our minds. He called us out of darkness, as we said. And also, it points to that more important feast. This is the appropriation of the merit of Christ and secures to the faithful eternal life through that shed blood. And thus, by faith, accepting his finished sacrifice, and by similar faith, as instructed by him, we appropriate to ourselves all the merits and perfections and rights which the man Christ Jesus possessed and laid down his life in death for us. In this way, we feed our hearts upon the bread of everlasting life. The bread which God sent from heaven is that true bread of which a man will eat and never die. What beautiful words from the Heavenly Father. And again, touching on our Lord. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. It was necessary not only for our Lord to die in this matter, to come down from heaven and be born of Mary as that bread, but also necessary that he lay down his life in death. He sacrificed or gave his life willingly, his flesh for the life of the world. And all the dead and dying race could have life, being the first fruits of them that slept. What a wonderful promise. Now, as we go on, brethren, we realize the bread which our Lord broke on that night was unleavened. Unleavened represents, as we know, corruption and sin because it is an element of decay. Therefore, it is a type or picture for sin. It also represents the decay and from death, which sin works in mankind. This unleavened bread shows us that our Lord was free from sin as a lamb without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. And such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, Hebrews 7:26. He was a perfect and willing sacrifice, as we know, and was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and yet he opened not his mouth. Isaiah 53:7. Now, brethren, in our own lives, we must purge out, therefore, that old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even as Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, 1 Corinthians 5:7, we must strive to rid ourselves of malice, hatred, anger, and anything that would take us away from service to God. So we want to focus on the things pleasing to him, our character development. And especially tonight, we're thinking about our Lord's sacrifice, but that doesn't end here. We think about this true bread and we want to partake of it all the days of our life as we're privileged to have by the grace and providence of the Heavenly Father. So also we are to understand and then remember what it cost our Lord Jesus as far as physical and mental suffering is concerned, to be the redeemer of the world, of mankind. We should also recall the example of divine love and compassion, to be faithful in carrying out the terms of our own consecration, to do the will of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What beautiful words from the Heavenly Father. And also, Paul wrote, consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, unless you become faint and weary in your minds, Hebrews 12:3. And we all realize we should each day. Our minds are our special battleground. Our fight is a difficult one, but the Lord Jesus paid the way. He said, walk in my footsteps. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. This is the essence of a perfect body, a perfect human, a perfect mind, a perfect son of God. The strengthening to prepare us to go on each day and to know and to do the will of God. 1 Peter 1:7, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So, dear brethren, we are told to have the mind of Christ in Philippians 2:5. Let that mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, daily his Father's delight, desiring to do the Father's will. And if we do this, we'll gain strength as we desire to follow in his footsteps. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he was, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to those who would just righteously, and that's his heavenly Father, brought out in 1 Peter 2:23. So we can see the wonderful example of his giving his life, this unselfish gift and suffering and dying on behalf of us and the whole world of mankind, and all in his service to the Father and to the sheep, his followers. And he lived his life by example. He helped, he encouraged. Each of us should desire, as his followers, to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Those whom he calls, he justifies, and then those who he will also glorify if faithful unto death. They are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:2. He has set us apart. He has called us with a heavenly calling, and we must strive to fulfill our vows of consecration and complete the giving of our own living sacrifice. So, dear ones, let's partake of this bread, fully understanding the significance of what it represents, having faith in what was secured for us by our Lord's sacrifice. And we solemnly do this in remembrance of him.
And now we're going to have our brother Larry McClellan give us remarks on the cup.
Matthew 26:27. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. This cup we partake of together this evening, brethren, represents primarily our Lord's shed blood of the ransom sacrifice. The Bible states clearly in Leviticus 17:11 that there is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. So it also represents Jesus' sufferings as well, his shed blood, his blood poured out. The cup contains the blood, whereas the bread represents Jesus' perfect human flesh, in total, the ransom price. The cup, we believe, represents the shedding forth of his perfect blood, the ransom price sacrificed, a perfect life sacrificed, a perfect soul sacrificed, poured out unto death. Simply spoken, the bread represents what Jesus had, and the cup represents what he did with what he had. This, we believe, is the primary significance of these memorial emblems. The bread is his perfect body, and the cup is shed blood. However, we believe it is a very great privilege that we who are consecrated are also able to partake of this cup based on our faith in the virtue of his perfect shed blood, which brings our justification to life with consecration. So in a secondary sense, we have a share in the sufferings of Christ. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Although the memorial is primarily a remembrancer of Jesus, a memorial of his death, primarily, we too, during the gospel age, have been invited to share this cup of pouring out our souls unto death, as he did, similar to our master. But his death paid the ultimate price under the law, and during his ministry before that, Jesus said he was already drinking of this cup. Was he drawing our attention to the suffering part of the sacrifice? The cup my Father has poured, shall I not drink it? And again, can you drink of the cup that I drink of? And can you be baptized with a baptism that I am being baptized with? And recall, in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember, Jesus asked the Father, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me, if it be possible. But not my will, but thy will be done. So to be consistent, what cup did Jesus seem to always be referring to when speaking about this cup of the gospel age? Those of us who have given our all in consecration to do the will of God, we are the only ones who have the privilege of our partaking of this cup this evening, the cup of suffering. Notice that the scriptures clearly speak of this joint suffering with Jesus. Philippians 3:10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Notice, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Our participation is based on faith in the ransom and the imputed merit that's appropriated to us from that faith, as well as being submerged into a complete consecration, as our beloved master, Christ Jesus, modeled for us for 3.5 years of his ministry as the head of the new creation. Jesus poured out his life unto death for us by example and placed on deposit with God his perfect life as a ransom price for Adam, given a grand hope of resurrection for all of humanity. The cup which my Father hath poured, shall I not drink it? This also was spoken before his actual death. This evidently referred to his dying process, which in his case led up to the extreme of having nails driven into his hand and feet and then raised up on a wooden cross to be scoffed and mocked for 6 long hours, exhausted, until he said, it is finished, and he died. Psalms 22:16. Read what Jesus saw and thought about in Psalms 22. Those were his thoughts, and that's what he saw in that passage. By reading this psalm, we understand that Jesus had some prior knowledge of what to expect and he was the bravest of the brave, the world's greatest hero, your hero and mine. This cup then represents the shame and ignominy connected with Jesus' daily sacrifices, which ultimately brought him to his death. Just so we also, as Paul says, I die daily. But at the cross, he finished or completed the ransom sacrifice that was actually presented to God initially at Jordan 3.5 years earlier, at the surrender of his life as a perfect human being to Jehovah when he came to John the Baptist at the River Jordan. There, the perfect man, the bread, the ransom price, renounced all claims under the law to an eternal life on this earth and pledged his life as the ransom needed for Adam. At the cross, Jesus had been dishonored of men and reckoned as an enemy, a blasphemer. But actually, even before this, Jesus had been proving his loyalty to Jehovah by preaching the truth, even when he knew he would be ridiculed, mocked, and even spit upon and smitten. Because of what he stood for, Jesus even had a painful crown of thorns shoved down on his precious head. But he was poured out. He poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors and made his grave with the wicked because he loved his heavenly Father so very much. Therefore, he loved the words of truth that came from God in the Holy Scriptures and was willing to die for it. And so with us, as his disciples, the Scriptures tell us that whosoever will live godly shall suffer persecution. John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. All these sacrifices, brethren, are part of our joint participation in the sufferings of Christ, the fellowship of his sufferings, and in drinking of this symbolic cup that we drink tonight. These willing sacrifices are demonstrations of your love and loyalty to Jesus, as well as to your gracious Heavenly Father. We suffer with him that we might reign with him, if faithful. This is part of bearing your cross, especially taking a loss or disadvantage in some way because of what we say for the truth, or because of a stand we make, or because of our lifestyle or our practice as a Christian. Luke 14:27 basically says this: whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This is part of what it means to drink this cup tonight. Can you? Are you willing to drink of the cup that he drank of and to be baptized with the baptism that he was being baptized with? This is all part of our joint participation in the sufferings of Christ that the Apostle Paul teaches us about. Remember when Paul was Saul? Jesus looked at us as part of him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? When Saul was persecuting you. This common union, spoken of by the Apostle Paul as in 1 Corinthians 10:16, shows that it's a common union of the sufferings with Christ to learn sonship skills for the future priesthood and proving our loyalty to God, even under adversity. But in addition, we fill up the afflictions left behind, as it says in Colossians 1:24 and 26. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do share on behalf of his body. Notice his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. The church also experiences drinking of the cup of suffering, experiences that have faithfully endured, train them in compassion for assisting humanity so that they will have the necessary credentials of understanding the struggle that mankind has had to endure under the experiences of the fallen flesh. This will make the body of Christ, the 144,000, better mediators in the kingdom. The composite Christ, the bride of Christ, is what the whole creation groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. These body members submit themselves to a programmed set of lessons by Jehovah, of trials and afflictions that develop Christ's likeness, that chisel and polish them for the purpose God has ultimately intended, namely a sympathetic, compassionate priesthood. 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. If faithful unto death, our master said, there was another cup. No, not a cup of suffering this time, but a cup of joy. Matthew 26:29. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Yes, the memorial that Jesus instituted in the beginning of this gospel age will find its fulfillment in the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. This cup that we all look forward to symbolically drinking will not be a cup of suffering, but a cup of joy, one of glory, honor, and immortality, and being part of the divine family. And Jesus knelt down on that last night in the upper room, and he said, if then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, so also ought you to wash one another's feet. John 13:15. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And finally, later that evening, Jesus instituted the memorial we celebrate tonight. Reading from Luke 22:19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Let us lay down our life for him as he laid down his life for us.
And now, dear brethren, we will have another hymn. We're going to sing hymn number 190, The Precious Blood.
Sacrifice of no learning.
And now we're going to have a scripture reading of Luke 22:19 by Brother Rick Sconyers. And that'll be followed by a prayer on the bread by Brother Stephen Yike.
And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, once again, we, with great joy, approach thy throne of grace to thank thee for this wonderful provision that thou hast made for us and for the entire world of the gift of thy only begotten Son. And at this time, dear Father, we ask thy blessing upon the emblem of the bread which we are about to partake of, that bread which, as was just read, represents that broken body of thy dear Son, broken for 3.5 years and given in death for us. We realize, dear Father, that without that, we would not be able to have a standing with thee. We also realize, dear Father, that 3.5 years of the breaking of Jesus' body provides much in the way of instruction and the gospel message for us, his words, his actions, his character, are so wonderfully shown to us during that time in which his body was being broken. And so we not only thank thee, dear Father, for the consummation of that work on the cross, but also that period of time in which he was such a great example to us and left us a legacy of perfection, a legacy of love, and a legacy of words that we can take into our hearts and minds to do thy will. And so, dear Father, we ask thee to bless this bread that we might not only remember its significance tonight, but that we might go forth from this place each day and feast upon it, feast upon his words and his example and his life, and feast upon thy character. We ask this, give you thanks once again for this bread in your Son's most precious name. Amen.
And he broke the bread and told them to eat all.
And now we will have a scripture reading of Matthew 26, verses 27 and 28 by Brother Jerry Wessel, followed by a prayer on the cup by Brother Ernie Kinsley.
A reading from the King James Version. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins."
Our loving and merciful Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy and precious name. Dear Father, we rejoice on this very solemn evening to come into thy holy presence, to raise our voices in praise and adoration to thee and to thy dear son for thy wonderful plan of salvation. We're so thankful, dear Father, of this most precious gift of thy only begotten son who willingly humble himself not only to be made flesh, but to humble himself unto the death of a cross, that he might not only redeem us, but really the entire human family. We're so thankful for this precious gift as represented in the cup, dear Father, the blood of thy only begotten son, that we've been redeemed by this precious blood of a lamb without blemish and spot, the blood of thy son, that through this blood we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins, that this blood has sprinkled our hearts from an evil conscience so that we might serve thee acceptably. We're so thankful we treasure this blood, this covering, which provides our justification, dear Father, and also basically makes it possible for us that we might lay down our lives following in the footsteps of Jesus, that we might come into a relationship with thee as thy sons. Help us to treasure this great gift which makes it possible. Help us to always appreciate it and use that blood to continually keep us clean in thy sight, to cleanse us from every defilement of the flesh and spirit. And help us to realize that our faith in this blood continues, must continue each and every day of our life. And so we ask thy blessing upon this cup. Help us to always remember the life that it represents and the great cost at which we have been bought with a price. We ask all of this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
So our Lord commanded them, drink of the cup. And he said, drink ye all of it.
And now we'll read Matthew 26:30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And so, as specified in scriptures, we will close with the singing of hymn number 168, and then we will dispense with a closing prayer or fellowship and go out into the night.
Thank you.